Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in. And now, on to the KevCast. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I am your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back to another episode. I'm so glad you're with me. I'm so glad you're telling your friends about this podcast. I love to see all the new names, and I hope one day, if it's ever possible, I'd love to meet all these people. But given the fact that so many of you are out of state or out of country, it's unlikely I'll get to meet any and every single one of you, but hey, there's always hope. Today, I have a hunch that some of you are going to think that this is not a very spiritual podcast. The title is called Driving and Consciousness. Driving and Consciousness. The reason why I say that some of you might not think it's a very spiritual podcast is because it's going to seem too rudimentary. It's going to seem too basic, too simple, too easy. But let me assure you that what we're talking about here is common to all of humanity. It's common to every person who's ever lived in the history of humanity. And it's common at the deepest part. And what I want to talk about is consciousness. Now, a living thing cannot live beyond its level of consciousness. And given the diversity of life in plants and animals, we seem to easily accommodate the fact that there is an inability of lower life forms to do only what they can do. And we really expect nothing of them. You know, I don't think of a thistle and say, I really need you to produce peaches. I don't think of, I don't go and talk to a tree and expect to hear an audible voice and moving parts and things like that. There's just certain limitations that different life forms have. And some we register as higher and lower life forms, a snail compared to a bird, right? But when it comes to a people, we try not to use terms like lower life forms. You know, it's insulting because we know that consciousness, especially among people, varies from person to person. And there's so many countless variables that influence our consciousness. I mean, the city, the town, the school, the church, the community that you grow up in has so much to do with the level of consciousness that you're going to enter the world with. The consciousness you get out of college with is different than the one you went in with. There's just too many variables. You see, but deep inside, even though we don't like to say people have higher and lower life forms, there's a little bit within us that is always measuring ourselves against somebody else. And we take comfort in being smarter, brighter, more talented, more advanced than someone else. And we need to really pay attention to this. You know, another way of saying that we can't live beyond our consciousness is to say that no person can live better than they think. You cannot live better than you think. What I mean by that is you can't ride a bicycle better than you think. You can't run a marathon better than the way that you think about that marathon. You can't do business better than the way that you think about business. And there's a framework for everything. And here we are talking about how we think more so than we are what we think. And so let me give you an example, and this is where my title, Driving and Consciousness, comes into play. You know, when I first began to drive, I thought that, you know, operating the car and knowing the basic laws was really all there was to driving. If I could operate the car and I knew the laws, then I could drive. And theoretically, that is true. But how could I possibly know about the countless other things to keep in mind when I was first getting my license? Right, about following at a safe distance, about the traction on the road, about wind, about driving, right? My consciousness for driving was low. But, you know, as you look at it, it was actually much higher than it was 3 years prior when I was only 13. You know, and once I got on the road, I learned how my driving related to everybody else's driving. I realized I was interconnected in some regard. But I became aware of weather and traffic and shortcuts and merging and towing and all kinds of deeper engagement with everything related to the car. And after years of driving and a few accidents, a few speeding tickets, and countless close calls, my consciousness about driving is much higher. But it's still nowhere near the consciousness of a professional race driver or the over-the-road truck driver or a stunt driver. All these people have driving skills and awareness and consciousness that far outreach me. What I have is confidence, but I don't have certainty, right? There's still more that I could learn. There's still more about driving that I could take it to another level. And this is true for everything in life. Driving is simply the access point, the example that I'm using to help us understand something way, way deeper. Now, this example helps us see consciousness from a different angle. The rule of driving is to make allowances for the young or the elderly, or those who have difficulties getting along. I mean, if some guy is towing something really heavy, you need to be patient while it takes a long time getting up to speed. If somebody's lost and you can tell they're looking around, we need to be patient and aware that maybe they're not going to be driving safely, especially if somebody's disconnected and texting or just, you know, has their head somewhere else. You know, but unfortunately, something else happens instead of making allowances. We begin to drive as if our driving agenda surpasses all other driving agendas, don't we? We get selfish. We get self-focused. Our drive becomes more important than everybody else's drive. And we might just be going to a friend's house when somebody else might be taking a loved one to the ER. You see, we use our consciousness to promote and differentiate ourselves. And we leave everyone else in our wake. We think that inside our cars, we're isolated to the bigger realities, but we're not. So consider the other aspects of life. If we have low consciousness in finances, we will poorly manage our resources and be in want. If we have low consciousness in business or socially or in social engagements, we're going to be marginalized and we're going to be far less successful. If we have low consciousness in a particular sport or music or an activity, we will not perform very well. You see, skill is the byproduct of consciousness, not knowledge. Consciousness determines the life we will live. Let me make that very clear. If you don't like your life, change your consciousness. You can't live better than you think, right? So if you don't like it, it's usually something you won't do or don't know. It's that simple. In fact, the moment our consciousness is gone, we are gone. You see, if we have low consciousness about non-physical reality, which is spirituality, we are not going to be able to find meaning or presence in this life or a true identity. None of those things are empirically measurable. And so only spirituality can provide that. There's no way around this. This is the design of the universe. I mean, matter comes from consciousness and it goes back to consciousness. Word becomes flesh, as it says in John 1:14. Consciousness is dynamism, it's movement, it's growth, it's expansion. It is never a stagnant thing, and thus it's always in flux. And that's why science struggles to define consciousness. It's not just neurotransmitters. It's not just your brain's function. You see, given the shape of reality, which is flow or movement, then it stands to reason that remaining in a particular frame of mind is to be counter to the expansive flow. I mean, this is what it means to be stuck, right? To be certain. And learning then is the path of expansion. And we enter the flow best as a student, even though in our heads we like to think of ourselves as teachers. And this is what Jesus meant when he said, if we don't receive the kingdom as a child, we could never enter it, Mark 10:15. You see, disciple means student. And only the humble student who has everything to learn, can enter the new realm. Entrance to the kingdom is not defined by your religion, it's defined by your humility. So those who pridefully know everything will ironically never know the bigger picture. 1 Peter 5:5 tells us that God actually opposes the proud. There you go. God opposes certainty. See, consciousness has everything to do with God. And as we'll learn and grow and discover, we gain the bigger picture, don't we? And that raises our consciousness to a place where we no longer see others as lower life forms, but as younger brothers and sisters. You see, our grasp of God corresponds to the grasp of ourselves. And as we give our lives away to others, we are not diminished. It's not like if I teach somebody something, I lose that thing that I taught them. No, instead we rise along with them. They gain something that you possessed, and now both of us possess it. So it's generative, it's expansive. Again, we're back to flow. And this idea of a kingdom is a perfect win-win for everybody. And it's done that way by design, and it's everywhere. The kingdom is everywhere, in every subject, in every field of thought. This is true. And it coexists with its opposite, which is stagnant and stuck and certain. And see, that's just it. Certainty is the great adversary to all humanity. Certainty is the loss of dynamism. It's the choking off of flow. Certainty is not the same as confidence. You can have confidence in what you know, but to be certain, I don't know. I think you're losing something when that happens. Certainty is the result of otherness disease and differentiation, right? When you have lived long enough seeing others as completely other than yourself, and you have lost the ability to see yourself in others, then you become way more certain in your ideas. And the only people you really like are those who share those ideas with you and are equally certain. It's very tribal. In fact, it's the lowest level of our consciousness. Certainty stops genuine service, and it knows very little about love. So no matter where we are on the spectrum, we will never lose if we keep striving to learn and remain humble and teachable students. That's what it means to be a disciple. And this is what it means to be poor in spirit, like it says in Matthew 5:3. It's what it means to inherit the kingdom of God. And spiritually speaking, there is very little else beyond this. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.